Jeremiah 23. Verse 16. Jeremiah 23:16. Focused on the glory of God this morning, which is diminished in the world because people invent their own gods. It's the most amazing invention that you could ever invent, and that is a god. Because then you follow the invention that you've made, and if that god you have created in your mind is not according to the truth, which it would not be, then you're in big trouble and also offensive to the Lord. And this follows in line with that. Verse 16, Jeremiah 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath. Even a whirling tempest, it will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days you will clearly understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord? Am not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? A hammer which shatters a rock. Let's pray. We're grateful, Lord, that your word is true, that it will never be proven untrue, Lord, even in modern days when our world, even our denomination, some of the higher-ups, and I'm sure many others, say that it's outdated, that the words against the sins of our time is not for our time that are declared in your word. And many false prophets are in the land. Many just common prophets who say the Lord says this when he does not. So it is important for us to not be misled and to say, you say when you do not say. And help us, Lord, to hold true to you in that and in always, in Jesus' name. Amen. You just about always know a person is off when they say, God told me this. Now, it could be done in truth. You know, you could be looking in your word, God told me in his word. But usually that's not the way it's used. A lot of the times it's used as an ongoing, fluid relationship. That God is communicating to people in a daily way, sometimes even in a vocal way, but often it is described as more of a sense that God is telling us to do something. And that's fine if it's biblical, because God tells us in His Word. But what often follows is, God told me to ask you or to tell you to send me $100 for our ministry here in Crookedville. And so the preachers on TV are always talking about, God laid this on their heart to tell us to do this, and God did not lay it on their heart. We hear it in the campaign. There are several in the campaign that on the Democratic side that are invoking the words of Christ to say that they're doing exactly what Jesus wants them to do. One guy's a homosexual. He says he lives his life according to the words of Jesus. This is easy to say. And it's akin to what we looked at this morning in talking about the fact that people invent gods. If you can invent a god, you can surely invent words of God that He does not say. And it happened in Jeremiah's time. And see what the purpose is. That Jeremiah and the prophets of the Lord are telling the people, because of their sin, they're going to be destroyed. And so what do you have to do then? If your sin is the problem, and you must repent of your sin or be destroyed, what is the only thing you can do? The only thing you can rightly do is to repent of your sin and forsake it and ask the Lord to have mercy upon the land. What they did instead was, prophets arose to say, you can live exactly the way you're living. There's no judgment coming. And they followed that. We see that from the start. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. These gods that we invent begin in our imagination. And so the words they say in their imagination. The entire Book of Mormon, I've got one in my office. I didn't never read it, but there it is up there. It's about this thick. It's one of the four books of Mormon that Mormons use. Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants, and I think the Book of Abraham and the Book of Mormon. You put them together, they're a thick volume of imagination. Complete imagination. They envision a time in which the Mormons had a tribe on the West Coast. And when Jesus ascended from Jerusalem, He landed over in North America and talked to them. Complete imagination. You got people living and dying. Billions for Islam. Total imagination. Muhammad, as best we can tell, needed to gin up his troops to fight for him. So he promised paradise and kill the infidel and all that. And look where that's gotten to. Complete imagination. And we have all these books that have come out that the Lifeway was big on promoting that we called heaven tourism, where people would say they were taken in a vision to heaven and saw this and that. And sometimes it's a kid and sometimes it's somebody older. And they publish it. The books don't match. They all went to heaven, but it's all a different place, look. And they make it up. It's complete fantasy. It's total imagination. And yet, people consume it like candy. This is what the world is made of. If we can make a God, we can make up words of God. And by the making of God, by inventing God, what people often do, rather than repent, is to be convinced by their God, that there's another way to look at this. Don't be so hasty. You don't have to give up your sin. God is okay with you in your sin. Don't worry about that. Now, who does that sound like? The devil said in the garden, you won't die. God knows you'll be better off. You'll be more like God. You'll know good and evil. You'll actually be advanced. It's exactly what the devil does. So, Jeremiah was a true prophet. As normally what the case, for every true prophet, you got like 4 zillion false. Don't listen, he says, to the words of the prophets. Because the temptation is, if you got a certain air about you, if you claim to be speaking words of God, then you should be listened to, especially if the message is more desirable than the actual words of God. If I go to the doctor and he tells me I need an operation that's going to take about 4 hours to do, it's going to have some recuperation about a month, and then on the way home and hear on the radio that there's an actual other procedure you can do. You can go to Hawaii for a week and cure that thing. You've got no surgery, no recuperation. But I said, well, I like that. That sounds better to me. So off you go. And of course, because it's more pleasant. They were given a more pleasant version of the word of God. Verse 17 says, they keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. If you're growing up, your parents give you a chore to do, clean your room, take out the garbage, mow the grass, whatever. You don't want to do it. So your brother or sister comes to you and says, they're not going to punish you if you don't cut the grass or clean your room. Or even if you're respectful to them. You can be however you want to. They love you. There's not going to be a problem. You just do whatever you want to. You want to go play somewhere else and not mow the grass, you go right on. That's a better message. See how that goes when your parents, the true version of authority, actually get a hold of you after that. Well, they heard a message they liked. People here on TV, they'll be healed. They'll be healed of their diseases. That's a very pleasant message. That's exactly what we want. God wants to heal you. That's exactly what we want. God wants to make you wealthy. Yeah, go on, preach it. But he won't make you wealthy. I mean, it's not likely. It's really not from naming it and claiming it. Not from the prosperity gospel. You won't be miraculously healed by claiming your healing, by saying to the Lord, I claim this in the name of Jesus, that I don't have diabetes anymore. Then it won't work. Because we don't have the power. Jesus went about doing good like that, but we don't have that power. People say, you need to energize that power. And you happen to be able to do that by sending me $200. I'll send you a prayer cloth, and you'll be able to get your blessings. People fall for that. These people wouldn't be on TV if they didn't. So these people are saying, these prophets are saying, you despise the Lord, you hate the Lord, you'll have peace. You do your will. You walk in the stubbornness of your own heart, and calamity will not come upon you. That is the alternative action. Do nothing, just keep on doing what you're doing, because nobody wants to repent of their sin. Nobody wants to leave it. If there's a way we can stay in our sin and avoid the penalty, we will. And here comes someone saying, don't worry about it. You just stay right on the road you're going. The grace of God will cover that. Don't get excited about it. This is what they were doing in Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived right before the end and then beyond prophesied. And they're saying it all the way to the end. Verse verse 18, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Well, now there's a confusing thing. The prophets just said, you can despise the Lord and have peace. You can follow the stubbornness of your own heart and no calamity will come upon you. But here, the Lord says, if you stood in my counsel and actually heard what I said and gave heed, you would know that a storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath. Even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. When we're kids, we want to go play outside, back when we did. Or if I wanted to play golf one day, boy, I'd really want to play golf. Really wanted to play golf. I look out, it's really cloudy. But I look over there, in the corner about 15 miles away. I see a little bright spot over there. Probably lightning. I see a little bright spot over there. And I say, you know, I think we can get 9 holes in at least. So you head out on the course because you're wanting that. You get stuck out in the middle of it. I've been in plenty of rain sheds on the golf course because you don't look at the sky. You don't look and see. You want to play, you play. And just believe for the best. It's not going to rain. And that's where the rain shed comes in. Well, they don't want the Word of God. Do you think our society today wants to hear that homosexuality is a sin in the sight of God? They don't want that. Do you think they want to hear that heterosexual sin is evil, that marriage is honorable and all, and the marriage has been undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge? Do you think they want to hear that? No. So is there any other counsel than that to fall upon? Yes, plenty. Plenty of people say it's not even a sin. It's no wrath. Paul had a problem. Paul had a problem with women. Didn't like women. So he wrote all that stuff about women being in submission to a man, wives being in submission to their husbands. He was mad at women for something. So they make all that up. They envision and imagine something that Paul never did. So the storm comes, and it falls on the head of the wicked, and the anger, verse 20, of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Because in the last days, when you see it, all the prophets that prophesied to you will be shown to be wrong. But the purpose, of course, is, in the plan of the devil, is to get a person who hates God to the end without repentance, without faith, without obedience to the Lord. And they're there. Then they know, but then it's too late. Verse 21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. I guess we regularly get, probably all of us, we regularly get, as far as religious visits, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. More Jehovah's Witnesses, generally, than Mormons. And the young men give up a couple of years, I think it is, of mission work to do that door-to-door stuff for the Mormons. Whatever sacrifices they'll say they make for that. Who sent them? Did the Lord send them to come to my door and tell me about that other world that was way back when Jesus and Satan were brothers, and that the Father, who is Adam, asked Jesus and Satan how he should handle the world, and Jesus said, you know, give them a choice. And the devil said, make them believe. And the devil got cast out of heaven because of that. You didn't read that in the Bible? Me neither. But you see, they go forth. Who sent them? They go out. They got their bikes. They look really nice and neat. Who sent them? They run. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. No one told Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, nobody told him that, thus says the Lord, you can have 15 wives because you need to raise spirit children for those on other planets to come and inhabit so that they can begin their progression toward godhood. But Jesus didn't tell him that. Where did he get that? Well, let me just think. Where could it have been? Man's thinking, thus says the Lord, I should have 15 wives. Wonder where that came from. Not from God. Although he said Jesus came to him, and he said one time John the Baptist came to him, and he put it at the feet of Jesus. Of course, what else do people do? But if they stood in my council, or said, they would know. And they would have actually announced my words to my people, and they would have turned them back from their evil way, from the evil of their deeds. But that's the point, you see. They don't want to be turned back. It's very, very popular. If you can preach, and the Bible talks about people with itching ears, waiting to have their ears scratched and satisfied and hear pleasant words rather than the Word of God. Then that's a great sermon. Verse 23, am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Oh, by the way, I was just thinking, just popped in my mind, Dwight Stone visiting somebody who was dying of cancer. I visited them as well. Dwight went and I showed up one day, and Dwight had been there. I had more of a relational communication with them. I'd go several times every other day or so. She's dying of cancer in Asheville Hospital. And Dwight came one day, and I got there, and Dwight had preached the gospel to them, and they were very, very, very sour about him. Oh, they're so glad he left. Imagine that. She's on the very threshold of death and eternity, and she's upset that an evangelist came by and told her how to be saved and have eternal life. Isn't that something? That's the wickedness of our heart. Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? What he's saying by that is people tend to localize God like they can position themselves away from where he is, like he's nearby and therefore he's not far off. If he's far off, then he's not nearby. Verse 24 follows on that. Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him? Well, if he was local, you could. He could be in Wyoming and you're in South Carolina and Lord, he's not going to see you. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord. I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. I had a dream. What do you do with a dream? You yourself. What do you do with a dream that you dream? That you wake up the next morning and you had a dream. What do you do with it? Sometimes they're amusing. The other night I dreamed, I don't always remember very long. I dreamed I was at the top of a very long ladder in a very small place up on the corner of a roof or something. And it was time to go down that ladder. And I could look all the way down that ladder. And let me tell you, it was a long way down there. And I never in my dream got off that ladder, on that ladder. I stayed right put where I was, and I was happy to wake up because I do not like heights. And that ladder, you couldn't hardly see the bottom of it. What does it mean? It means forget it and go on with your life. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to send Benny Hinn $50. It doesn't mean anything that some of the prophets might say. Oh, it is meaningless. What our brains do, you know. But people have a dream. And if you're smart, now there are a lot of people who aren't smart. They take some significance in dreams. Freud would do that. Sigmund, what did you dream? Oh, let me tell you what. Because it's like you can't be wrong because it doesn't mean anything. You just give some kind of generality about it and say it means this. And how can you say? They had a dream. Verse 26. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? What they're doing is, I had a dream. Therefore, you should listen to me. I had a dream. Who doesn't have a dream? I had a dream. And in my dream, some guy got up in church somewhere one time, a Pentecostal, charismatic type church, and gave a prophecy. Gave a prophecy from the Lord. Just gave a prophecy. Ended up in a book called The Prophecy. And put it out there. It was probably back in the 70s. You could probably still get it. Because people believe actually that God is speaking through them, and it's so important. They had a dream. They felt led away. They just felt like they weren't in themselves. They were something. They were somewhere different. They were carried away. And it makes it sound like you got to listen to this person because look how it was given. It was given in a dream or a sensation or my heart burned. So here they said it was a dream. I had a dream. Well, so listen to me. But he says, you intend to make my people forget my name by your dreams? I dreamed. I dreamed that you can go to heaven by giving your pastor $1,000 and you'll go to heaven. Well, that's kind of what the Pope has done. You give money to have a mass and you can get people out of purgatory. I had a dream. Well, your dream is worthless. Dream doesn't mean anything. If you follow your dreams of that nature, you're dead. But they had a dream, so they said, "Well, okay, you got to listen to it." Verse 28: The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain? Declares the Lord. We went to the grocery store on Friday. Cindy and I. And every time, you know, we've given up on cereal. Well, let me tell you, I have not given up on wanting cereal. And since I stopped eating cereal, they have come out with some new stuff. And I know it's because I quit eating cereal. So they said, we got to ramp this up a little bit. We got to get a better game here. And they've got some stuff there, and you go down, I look at it, and on down there, and they got some new Frosted Flakes flavors too. And that was really. And by the time I'm at the end of that aisle, I can still have that craving. Put that cereal in a bowl, throw some milk in there, and just leave me alone for about 15 minutes. And it calls to you. And compare that to, like, you go out in the yard and you pull up some weeds and you put it in a bowl in the kitchen, pour milk on it. It's not the same. And the comparison being made here by the Lord between their dreams and His Word is like, you know, the difference between something that is actually a good thing, grain, and straw, which is not. And yet people take straw to be like wheat because they had a dream. But its actual value is worthless. Verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. That's an actual force. It's an actual power. And especially as it relates to judgment. And like a hammer which shatters rock. Okay, you got grain. Grain you can actually make cereal out of. Weeds. No. And if you really have the Word of God, God characterizes His Word as, you want to burn down something, then you got to have a fire to do it. And His Word is a fire. And you want to break something? You want to have something that actually breaks? The heart? Then His Word is like a hammer. Remember at the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and they were cut to the heart. Their heart was absolutely shattered by their sin. They were convicted. You don't get a genuine experience with God with weeds. And the prophets who prophesied falsely, because it's what the people wanted to hear, didn't do them any good. Didn't prepare them for judgment. Didn't get them out of judgment. Didn't enable the people to have any basis for standing against God. They were encouraged to continue to be in rebellion, but in the end it didn't work. It was slanted in an ungodly way so that the people would remain in their sin, and that was from the devil and from his prophets. Let's think for a moment as I close what we have here in this Bible. We have grain. It actually produces a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. That is not something that weeds would do. Straw. You throw straw on the ground, it's a straw. And it is like fire and a hammer. It's also called the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. His actual weapon. It is not fake, and it is not weak. It is powerful. And we have that Word. So we have, by the grace of God, knowledge of the true God. We have that from revelation by the Holy Spirit, attested to by signs and wonders showing His power and the work of Christ. And we have the Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. We are, in spite of all the problems we may be facing, a privileged people. We have the Word of God. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?